Hello, you've found the podcast Cults and Kaiju. This is episode 2, entitled Forgotten Heroes. I'm your host, Trenton Payne. Well, so to recap, last episode we stumbled upon some weird video. Yes, I have to give props to my friend Jeff here for going down a doom scroll rabbit hole to find them. Anyway, they look like some sort of promotional films for a church or a cult in the early 70s somewhere in Japan. Now, the person who uploaded these doesn't seem too happy with the group. By the way, the videos are labeled as Heavenly Path Institute at the beginning of each film, but the user has no photo on YouTube and just posts as Heavenly Path Archive. And in the description, says that the group is a cult and no good, and some of the videos have a similar synopsis with sentences in Japanese as well. Well, of course, the person didn't leave any email in the About section. They didn't leave really any information, so we're having trouble reaching out to them. Was this a dead end? We finally thought just to reach out by leaving a comment on one of the videos. Maybe the person who uploaded the video would reach out. But when I went back to the page a few weeks later, lo and behold, someone else had left a post or two. Then the author of the film started commenting back and forth with the person who first posted. I kind of felt like they thought this was like texting back and forth and didn't realize that none of this was private, so perhaps, maybe they are a bit older and didn't realize what they were doing. At any rate, I reached out by commenting on the woman's post that was commenting on the video, and luckily, she got back to me. And we're about to interview her. She opened up a whole new topic about superheroes, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll let her speak in her own words, but a couple of caveats first. We're not using her real voice. In fact, I picked a younger voice for her because all of this happened when she was barely into her 20s, and I felt like it helped to set the mood for the story, so we all feel in the moment. Her name is fake as well to protect her privacy, and I want to reiterate that if anyone reaches out to us to be interviewed or just give us some more information, that their privacy will be respected as well. Okay, so let's just cut into the important part of the interview with a Miss Kazuko. Once again, thanks for speaking to me, Miss Kazuka-san.
You'll have to excuse me if some of that time was hazy because I'm in my 70s now and it's hard to remember it perfectly.
No, I get it. I couldn't tell you what I had for lunch last Tuesday, so yeah, I totally get it.
I was actually very grateful to Emmy for giving me a chance to photograph her hero show because at the time I was working in the secretarial pool and, of course, nobody would hire an inexperienced girl who was barely 20 years old as a photographer. I was an immigrant from the Philippines and painfully shy, so that didn't help either.
Okay, so a lot to unpack here already. Please be patient with me. Did you say hero show?
That's correct. The children's superhero show that her and the group were creating. I'm just sorry it never got produced.
What show exactly is this?
I believe it was called Rogue Fight Man. Rogue person? No, it had an X in there. The X was very important for some reason. Okay, I think it was Rogue Fighter X. Yes, I think that was it. I'm not sure if Jimmy or Emmy came up with the idea, but it was really fun and exciting, even though there were some hijinks involved.
Was it a cartoon they were making, like Speed Racer or Astro Boy?
It was live action. You know, like Ultraman. There would be kaiju fighting the good guy each episode and buildings would get destroyed. Shows like that were very popular with children in those days.
Yeah, they still are. So tell me more about this superhero. What was he called?
Rogue Fighter X, definitely the name. I thought the idea was really strange, but then little boy shows were crazy back then. Apparently, the hero is from another dimension and his father sends him to Earth to help people. I think he keeps a suit or a helmet or something that a dying superhero gives him and he becomes Rogue Fighter X and protects the Earth against monsters. I think he also constantly fights the Fox Witch, this bad guy that lives in the mountains.
That actually sounds fairly straightforward for those kinds of shows in Japan in the 1970s.
But Jimmy kept changing the script and it became weird. The hero became a boy that was made of black slime from an evil dimension sent to take over Earth and he kills a superhero because the superhero is clumsy when he fights giant monsters and steps all over buildings. So the boy ends up killing the superhero and takes his suit and becomes Rogue Fighter X and won't let the evil dimension come to Earth. he actually sides with the Fox Witch and she gives him extra powers to defeat his father from the evil dimension.
That does sound a little more non-traditional for the time.
There were large henchmen that were black and slimy and shaped like large X's, slightly taller than a man. They popped out of the crack in the sky from the other dimension to defeat the hero. I didn't like Jimmy's story as much as Emmy's original idea. Her concept was more simple and easy to grasp.
But you're saying it never got made. Through which film company was it going to be filmed? Can you tell me a little bit more about Jimmy and Emmy? Sorry, I have a lot of questions.
Jimmy, Emmy, and I worked for a small advertising firm that mostly supported a certain film company that I probably shouldn't say who they were, but this film company competed a great deal with companies like Tsuburaya Productions and Ishimori Productions. You know, like that insect man who rode a motorcycle.
Insect man. You mean Kamen Rider?
That's it. Kamen Rider. Well, Emmy and Jimmy met working at the ad firm. He was a salesman and she was head of bookkeeping. They bonded right away and were really in love. It was very romantic, but they had to keep it secret because it was very forbidden to date anyone you worked with. I worked under Emmy helping with bookkeeping, but also helped the other managers with secretary work. Just anywhere I was needed. It was fun because one of our clients' shows became very popular with kids, so it made us proud that the work we were doing was getting to the general public. Much honor there.
So Emmy and Jimmy wanted to make a kids' show, but they didn't actually work for the production company. They, like you, worked for the advertising firm that supported the production company?
That's correct. But that didn't stop them from working on it. They were determined to get it done. They were working on a proposal and even planned on filming test footage, so when they were ready, they would hand in a sleek promotional package complete with footage, ad slots for the newspaper, and photos.
And you took the photos. Of what exactly?
Emmy hired me to do principal photography work of the hero in some action poses. If we got a few good photographs, then we could do some polished advertising layouts to convince either the ad firm to create the show or the film studio to create it. I was so excited that I borrowed, well, I sneaked out my father's expensive camera to take the shots because I didn't own a camera of my own and all the equipment was locked up at work.
And do you have any photos still? What became of the show?
Well, that was very sad because the ad company didn't take it too well that its staff was borrowing equipment and sneaking around spending funds trying to get the idea off the ground. I'll never forget the day we went to photograph the actor in costume. I was so young and innocent that I didn't know we were actually breaking onto a studio set on the weekend when nobody was there. I thought Jimmy had just worked something out with the studio, but turns out no. I found out later that even most of the costume for the hero was stolen from the costume department of the same studio. It was cobbled and sewn together by someone in Emmy's club. It looked good though. Silvery and shiny and heroic just like Ultraman. That day was so exciting working on a real set. Everyone was rushing around in a big hurry and I was so stressed that I was going to mess it all up because I barely knew how to use the camera. I had no idea how to run lights, so some of the people from the club just started pulling lights out and plugging them in. Someone else dragged over a painting of a backdrop with a city and we got it done. Only later did I realize everyone was working so fast because we weren't supposed to be there.
What did the hero look like? Do you still have any photos?
Like I said, he was shiny and scary but looked real. I remember the poor actor wearing the outfit had his ears pushed against the helmet and they hurt quickly because they were getting crushed. That just put more pressure on me to hurry up and shoot. Back then too, we had no idea if the shots were coming out because nothing was digital. You just had to take the shot on a roll of film and process it in a lab and hoped it all worked out. It was all very exciting but super stressful. One man fell backwards over the background painting and knocked over a light. It broke. Made a big flashing sound. I almost screamed. Luckily, there was no fire, only smoke. Then, after a few pictures, they all decided to get out of there right away, but I wanted to stay and get more shots. Nobody cleaned anything up, they just took off without me.
Oh no. At that point, did you wonder why everyone was in a rush?
Absolutely. Someone yelled at me that we were going to get arrested if we didn't leave, so I grabbed everything in a hurry but left a lens filter behind, probably on the floor. I got in big trouble with my father over that.
So what became of the photos? Can you describe them more?
The hero was called a Rogue Fighter X, and the X was important, and it was supposed to be big and bold across his chest like the henchman shaped like X's. But they just put a placeholder on the real suit we photographed by using an engraving tool on the chest panel, and painted it with green tempera paint. Not as exciting, but at least it stood out in the photo. The helmet looked kind of scary and, as I said, made it look like the hero had no ears. It was kind of pointy. The rest of the suit was shiny with gloves. I thought it had a very daring look.
Are there any photos of it?
Well, Emmy and Jimmy's club had some problems with the police. I think it was all just nonsense, because the club was really harmless. It was just a bunch of young people hanging out and camping. But like I said, the ad firm found out about our secret project and they were calling it a burglary when we used the studio, which was a bit much. So, they were going to fire all of us. But Emmy told me to destroy all the negatives and pictures so I wouldn't lose my job. When she was interviewed by police, she never mentioned me.
And did you destroy the photos?
Unfortunately, yes, but a few years ago, I was cleaning out an old dresser drawer and realized that bits of one of the photos was still there. I remember tearing it up in frustration at the time because my big break in photography was going to get me arrested. Anyway, bits of that photo were sitting in the drawer for over 40 years. There were only pieces, and I had to scrape them off the dresser because over the years, the photo paper became glued to the dresser wood. The drawers were stained with brown stain even on the inside, so it was tough to unstick pieces of torn-up photograph and still leave any of it intact.
So you have a picture, or at least bits of one?
I have just a few scraps, and I taped it together as best I could. Sadly, my tape is very old as well, so it's kind of a mess.
Could you send me a photo of it?
I don't see why not. Like I said, there's not much there, but you'd get a good idea of what Rogue Fighter X looked like, at least as a prototype. Maybe I could scan in the bits of photo with my son's printer. He's better with all that technical stuff, so I'd have to ask him.
Please do. I think it would be phenomenal to actually see it, and it never got made.
It never got past me taking those photographs. Soon after, Jimmy went missing and then Emmy disappeared before she could be charged with any wrongdoing. That's when the club disbanded. It all ended so abruptly. It was sad because it brought people together in a good way. I was sad that it went away.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the club?
Jimmy and Emmy called it the Heavenly Path, but I only went to a few meetings. But I had fun. I met a lot of other young people that just wanted to hang out. Many of them had real jobs too, they weren't criminals. I remember there was a chemist, a child psychologist, some of the people work at the film studio, a few of us worked for the ad agency. I think there was a dock worker. He was a little spooky but was very quiet. Just a bunch of free thinkers. I miss it. I really do.
So Jimmy and Emmy went missing. Did you find out what happened to them?
They didn't go together because Jimmy was missing earlier, and there was all this weird story that he floated up in the sky to see his father that everyone said was God. And I know that wasn't true, but just because they had strange beliefs didn't make them bad.
Absolutely. So Jimmy went missing?
Yes. He didn't have any living family, but the police thought there was foul play. Which I doubt very much, but they called my group of friends a cult, and that just wasn't fair.
You were talking with the person who posted the films about the Heavenly Path on YouTube. Did you know each other?
I'm not sure if I did. I have a good idea of whom it might be, but I could be wrong. I know he was in the club though. Somehow he found these films and posted them. He seems very negative about Emmy, which is not true. She just wanted more women to have jobs like men, so I don't see why that's a bad thing, but that's the way it was back then.
Are you in contact with any of your friends from that time?
Oh, no, there were just a handful of us, and we all kind of went our separate ways when Jimmy and Emmy went away. Sad too, because I would have loved to keep in touch. It was just a quick moment in our lives. Blink and it was gone.
We're going to keep trying to reach out to the person that uploaded those films, so please let me know if anything comes to mind about him or her.
Oh, I think it's definitely a man, but that barely narrows it down because I think when the club disbanded there were like 80 or 100 members. But I'll try.
Oh, I thought it was just a handful of friends.
Well, not everyone got together at the same time, so yes, never more than a few people meeting together. I really wouldn't know, since I only went to their meetings a couple of times.
Right, well, I'd love to see that photograph if you can figure it out, and how to, you know, figure it out how to get it to me. And I appreciate you getting back to me. I think there's a lot of interesting stories here about the TV show and your friends. Hopefully you'll let us interview you again if we need any follow-up.
Oh, absolutely. I rarely see my grandkids since they moved out of town, so this lonely old grandma loves the attention.
You bet. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Well, there you have it. Apparently this club, as she puts it, was working in an ad firm, decided for some reason to start a kid's show like Ultraman or Kamen Rider or whatever, and was doing it in secret. Then they were found out, then the ringleaders went missing. I'm crossing my fingers hoping Miss Kazuko sends me some sort of photo, even if it's just a piece. Of course, I looked up Rogue Fighter X on the internet and nothing. The closest I got was of course a million hits for X-Men or typical Star Wars links. Very curious. I can't imagine what a cult's version of Ultraman would be like back in those days. But if we're lucky, we'll find out. I do think it's weird, we never got around to talking about this, but I think it's weird that Miss Kazuko just popped out of the woodwork to post on those YouTube videos when there are only literally a handful of views, and most of those are probably my staff just reviewing footage. I mean, someone posts this obscure topic, not mentioning her at all, or, by the way, the superhero Rogue Fighter X, and she just happens to come across it on YouTube while searching for what exactly? That seems really sus. Keep in mind, too, the first episode of our show hasn't even aired yet. We uploaded the first and second episodes at the same time. And it's not like we have a ton of listeners or well-known or anything anyway. So basically, out of the blue, someone connected with the Heavenly Path pops up to support them as just free-loving kids who enjoy camping. This is when my paranoid gland starts acting up big time. Well, that's it for now. Tune in next time for another episode of the podcast, Cults and Kaiju.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this. Even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.